I mean, I think what it does brings into, though, in a more general way, yeah, is this whole the way in which social workers suddenly found themselves stereotyped.
Yes.
In this way, I suppose I was also asking you, you know, were you surprised to suddenly discover this, you know, that because stereotype, because you know, 1 minute social workers were considered sort of reformers and radicals, and particularly PSW. I remember Reg saying to me a couple of years ago something to the effect that in political terms, the PSWs were always thought as the radicals, and the MSWs were the conservatives.
That's right, yes.
And then all of a sudden, we're all getting stereotyped, and you know, particularly in Barbara Wootton's book. But I mean,
yes,
a lot
I suppose
of social
Barbara,
science
well, Barbara began it, probably.
Hmm.
She kind of codified it, didn't she? Put it in words.
Hmm. And started off a whole bandwagon.
Yes, yes. But still, there's been an anti-psychoanalytic, anti-psychiatry development, which has nothing to do with social work, is it?
Yes,
and then there's been the sociological attack on the professions, all professions, the sort of institution of the professions. And in that some of the PSWs and others were probably the most professional. They picked that up. So I think, again, it's from the times. And I think probably the generic development stereotype the PSWs unnecessarily.
Yes. In what way? How?
Well, because they then became stereotyped as people who specialised and were limited and were hanging on to their elitist ideas. And
That's right. Yeah, David Donison in his chapter in the second edition talked about the PSWs as the Brigade of Guards.
Brigade of Guards, yes.
And the Applied Social Studies lot as the Commandos.
That's why you say it depends. Well, quite. It's got its funny side. I said to David at the time, the only trouble was the social class of the leaders had got mixed up.
Yes, that's right. Yes, absolutely. Yes. So, as a sort of new and young in social work at the time, that all burst. I started with FSU in 1957, and Barbara Wootton's book came out in 59, and there was the Audrey Harvey Fabian pamphlet, also the Titmus one on the Irresponsible Society, which was sort of gradually, you know, building up and up and up. This bit. I got caught up. I mean, I took those things too. You know, I read Barbara Wootton's book, and I read Daddy Knows Best when she wrote the thing on the Young Husband Report. I said, this is all right. This is right.
Well, there was quite a lot of element of truth in it, but the whole thing got pushed.
But when you go back to a lot of the literature, and when you go around and start talking to people about what they actually did, I mean, it wasn't right. I remember Lottie Blank, when I did a placement with John Heimler's set up.
Yes.
She was taking me up to Knapsbury, and of course she's got a car and I had no transport. And she said, on the way, she said, I've just got to pick up a chap's clothing. She said, you might as well see we high-powered PSWs, we do actually do these things as well, you know.
Yes.
And when was that sort of? Well, I mean, that was, I mean, Lottie Blank was a product of this.
Oh, yes, I supervised Lottie Blank at Wallingham Park Hospital. She was one of my students at Wallingham Park Hospital.
And when you read social casework in Great Britain, I mean, the opening sort of thing is about social work consists of social reform.
I don't think there was ever a time the only social workers who possibly didn't do any of those things were people who went into very highly specialised child guidance clinics or therapeutic clinics. And after all, they didn't do those sort of things because it wasn't the function in that particular situation. They were working more as therapists.
But why didn't you all fight back harder than you did at the time? I mean, there was a review article in Case Conference by Titmus, which I think he wrote when he was quite ill, didn't I heard?
Barbara Wootton's book, yes.
There was a sort of, there was a sarcastic letter from Reg saying that to the effect that he assumed that Vera Seal was displaying the attributes she had that she said belonged to the PSW, she was displaying in her book, in her contribution to the book.
Yeah. Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, you see, we weren't aware of not fighting back. I mean, you're looking at literature, I suppose. Mm. I mean, there were tremendous arguments and discussions and meetings and things at the time. I haven't a feeling so much of not fighting back, but except that it was happening everywhere. And also you had a lot of other work to do. You can't spend too much of your energy fighting these things, which are only going to be passing things, really.
It
all comes out in the wash, I think. I really think in the end, some people thrive on fighting, but I think lots of social workers in the past certainly weren't those kind of people, and certainly while I can fight back and did on the generic thing at tremendous cost to my own sort of happiness and feelings, but I don't really enjoy it, and I find it an awful waste of time. I'd much rather get on with people to do things than spend time fighting.
Right, well, yes, I mean, I've got in
and I'm sure a lot of other, similar things. I'm sure a lot of other people are like particularly ones who go into social work.
It really is the most draining.
And also, I like Barbara Wood never so much. Yes. Because I see her as an old teacher, I just thought she was misled by Barbara Seal, and that she was very good on the chapters that she knew about, like delinquency.
And that who's Barbara Seal?
Barbara Seal, Mark, what's her name? The research person who did the research work for Barbara Wood.
Yes, Vera Seal.
Vera Seal. Yes, that she, yes, I think you see that Vera Seal did the research and supplied her with all these funny quotes
American
books. And Barbara wrote on something she wasn't so familiar with.
Yes.
And as far as I was concerned, it wasn't really up to her standards as an academic. And, but of course, if you don't know them, I knew the material, but if you didn't know the material, and, you know, she's a very high standard, high standard lady, but knowing the material, the delinquency chapters in the book are much better.
Yes, yes, they are.
The other, casework thing's much more gossipy than Barbara usually goes in, although she's very witty.
Yes.
No, I just felt she got let down by research assistant.
Yes. But if you're people outside, it seems to me that the thing that social workers have pioneered throughout, and I suppose the mental health course was in the vanguard of this, is what one might describe as sort of human relations.
Yes, yes, really. I think so.
And reading the biographies of people like Barbara Wootton, I don't know if there's a biography
of hers.
But I was thinking more about
In a World Rathbone. I Never Made or something. It's very nice.
But I was thinking of Eleanor Rathbone.
Oh,
Have you read Mary Stock's biography of her?
No.
Well, you know, she was there was the family allowance thing and
yes,
everything.
Yes, that's right.
But she was also very much taken up with the rights of women in India and couldn't understand why she just didn't get across to Indian women what she was saying. She thought, you know, she thought she was just being perfectly polite, she was making her point, and she couldn't understand the importance of standing in someone else's shoes and feeling with them. I was reminded of Barbara Wootton saying all we really needed to be was a polite secretary, social worker needed social worker. And there's a tremendous blind spot.
Yes.
And I suppose the mental health course has contributed to a lot of PSWs have spread out into a lot of other fields something about that.
Yes, I think so, yes. Mm. No, I think Barbara is she's a very intellectual person, and I think that happens as you kind of. She's. No, I think she defends herself with certain bits of emotional knowledge, but.
Yes.
You know, you can't really guess about people.
Yeah, sure.
You know, she's so witty, and that's a kind of defense.
Yes, she is witty, isn't she?
Yes.
Yes. Would. To what extent do you think the contribution that social work teaching at LSE could make to the social administration department as a whole, to the staff, actually was impinged? I mean, did they take it? Were they able to make use of the things you were saying about?
I don't think so. I think that was a very weak part. I don't think we had a lot of influence on the social admin side. It's difficult to judge. We didn't really get much opportunity. And I suspect that the ones we did make an influence on were the ones who came on to us. But I don't think there was a very... there was nothing like as much influence. See, after all, Titmuss never gave a single lecture to the professional social work courses the whole time we were there, and yet look what an important person he was.
Yes.
And I did ask him once, and he did come and give a talk, but he hadn't really prepared it, and so he didn't come over as he should. I mean, he wasn't a marvellous lecturer in any case, but, I mean, if he'd really... seen a connection, he would have wanted to have some influence on social workers, and as a head of a department, where could you have more influence? I mean, at least David Donison taught social administration on the social work course, and I think if anyone was influenced a bit by social work connections, it was David, probably.
Yes.
But Titmuss was very interested in social policy and that sort, and he wasn't antagonistic.
No.
But I don't think he saw it as a really important knowledge base in the development.
No.
So I don't know, I may misjudge him on that.
We haven't talked about case conference, have we?
No, all right, if you want to. Although I think probably from what I've written about it, you've got the main things, but you may want to ask
You wrote in the last issue.
In the last issue, yes.
But I haven't looked at that recently, and I can't remember. Have you said in there how the idea came into your head?
Yes. Oh, how it came into my head was that I could never get any references for students, say, these American books. You see, we can't imagine how weighed down we were by American books.
Yes.
But also, people always complain that social workers didn't write, and I could never see what they could write for. I mean, they couldn't. Occasionally get honoured by having something accepted by the British Journal of Sociology, but if it was accepted, it probably wasn't very suitable for social work reading. And anyway, most social workers didn't read it. And so this problem, it seemed to me that that people writing is only one side of the coin, and that you only begin to write when you have somewhere to write for.
Yes.
I do believe that, but it's all right. I mean, some people just are naturally can't help writing. But others, I think, having something to write for. You see, I think New Society and all these things have increased the amount of writing. And so I just thought, well, we must have something for people to write for. So that was how it began. Plus the fact that I was interested in an amalgamation of the associations. One profession, and it seemed to me you'd need one journal for that.
So you'd thought of that as in 1954?
Oh, yeah, that was one of the purposes of the journal. I never expected to run that for 16 years. I wouldn't have started it if it was going to take that long to get them all together.
Yes. Gosh.
No, I thought they'd get
That is long-range thinking.
It's a long... Yeah, but I didn't expect it to take so long. I saw it as an instrument for doing it, you see, which indeed it was.
Coming back to ideas then, because the case conference thing is, well, as you say, is well documented.
Yes.
What would you say was the most important or the most influential idea or conceptual breakthrough during this time? Remember, we're talking about 29 to 59.
29 to
59.
Concepts.
Or ideas, you know, concepts. It
sounds all so hushed. I do think that the therapeutic development in casework was very important. I do think that one of the major concepts or group of concepts were to do with a controlled use of relationship and recognising projection and transference and counter-transference. And while even people who don't use that terminology, I think it definitely added to the ability of people to see what was going on. They became more aware of certain things going on. So I think that was one very important concept. I think the concept of role has been a major contribution to beginning to think about why people do what they do and how, and also where you might kind of helpfully come into it.
Yes.
So I think that was very important. Then I probably can't put it into words, but the whole area around this sociology of social problems, I think it's been a major introduction into social work thinking. It has to do with what social institutions are. Again, it's a bit linked up with role. How the social institutions you most belong to give you a role and affect your behaviour. And how identifying problems themselves, that in itself has an effect on how people are seen and how people behave towards people in problem situations. I mean, I think they're all concepts which have been very, very valuable. Well, just talking off the top of my head, that's what I see. Yes. I mean, is there anything else cropped up which you think I've kind of...
Which you...
I probably have thought, but I've just forgotten all about other things. But, I mean, I won't be influenced by what you say. I'll tell you if I can do
Yes, I suppose it does belong in this period because it was all part of that generic development. I mean, the importance of agency, recognising the sort of link between sort of the social worker as an employee of an organisation which has a specific statutory or a specific frame of reference.
Yes, I don't think I wouldn't see agency function as one of the major factors. I mean, it seemed to me that it was useful at the time, and it's a useful concept, and it comes into the unitary approach. So that it gets built in there, but I don't think you see. I think that was a putting into words something which people weren't entirely unaware of. Yes. So that it seemed to me that is more of identifying, putting together ideas. Whereas I think, for instance, concept of role was a really quite new concept. Into social work. I mean, I think the development of social administration as a different subject is very important in social work.
Yes, so that's why I wondered about the agency function thing, because I mean, is that where the link with social administration leads you into social policy? And I remember when I was your student, you sent me away to read Claire Winnicott's article on casework and agency.
Yes, function. Well, at the time, I think it was very, very significant.
Yeah, and first time I read it, I didn't pick it up.
No.
Because, and it was interesting, sort of, point of view of sort of the way students behave.
Because
there's a footnote in there about people's delinquent behaviour sometimes actually being a deliberate appeal for help or something. I can't remember what it said, but immediately put my kind of Barbara Wooten type back
up. Put your back up, yeah.
And I couldn't see the article, and I had to read it a second time before I remember coming back to you being kind of all burnt up by that article.
Because
I suddenly realised here was a bridge between the sort of the individual, wider society.
Well, I thought it was a very important article at the time, and I do think it's a very useful concept. I really was reacting most to your most important, and
Yes.
Therefore, I wouldn't put it as most important, really. That's not to make it.
Yeah. I can still quote the sentence. I still quote it to. Agency function is the. Is agency function is something that to the effect of the centre of the casework process?
Yes.
Or something she says.
Well, you see, I think that it's kind of a
marvellous.
Yes, but you see, agencies were clear then.
Yes.
You see, I mean, you can't. It's very difficult to apply agency function in a social services department. I don't mean you can't apply it entirely.
No.
But I think it's a concept that probably needs a lot more hammering away at now.
Yes.
If you're going to use it.
Yes. But it's an antidote to social workers thinking that they somehow, I think she puts it in herself in this way, they're running some sort of Robin Hood crusade.
Oh, yes, quite. And that, I think, is one of the big problems of a number of things now, in a sense, that are kind of, as a rebellion against the big department, some people claim that professional professional autonomy.
Yes.
But you do need the support of an agency and a profession.
Whilst also fulminating about the professions with their other act when they get to another seminar.
That's
yeah.
Right. Yes. But I think in academic terms it was those.
Yes.
That with all the things that I would rather not have had from sociology, that sociology has made a big contribution.
Yes.
Probably sociology.
Yes. And that was something you deliberately cultivated when you had responsibility for the course.
Yes, I mean, I always used to go to the sociology seminars, for staff seminars in the sociology department at LSE. I mean, not in latter years, because it became, too chaotic and really one couldn't get too much from it. But when, there'd be Jean Flood and Don McCray and there was an American Birnbaum, and there was a very interesting crowd, and the psychology people were in the same department.
Yes.
So there was Hilda and Oppenheimer and another chap. So there were quite a number, and I always went. Yes. They held them on a certain day, and I was free, and I just wasn't kind of part of it.
Yes. Can I just ask you one more? I don't know how you're feeling. I'm sort of feeling I'm
getting a bit tired.
Yeah.
We can have our lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was wondering if I could ask you one more question, then we'll call it a day, and maybe I could. What I want to ask you is, what's the best social work thing you've ever done? Bang.
Social work thing, not even a case one.
Well, yes, it can be a case. I mean, I can't think of another word. It might be several different things you want to talk about, but and what are you sort of happiest to look back on and think, that was good.
Well, I think it would be things in social work. Or most recently, the Institute, which is a late thing. But I think getting the Child Guidance Clinic started was a very good thing.
Yes.
And then two or three cases. I can remember, a case that gave me enormous satisfaction. An epileptic girl, adopted, who was got into a home for difficult children, a moral welfare home or something, who got into the hospital. It seems so incredible she should have got into the hospital. I'm sure she was only an awkward, hysterical girl, really. She shouldn't have been there, probably, but she was certainly, her behaviour was very, very difficult, even in the hospital, difficult for a mental hospital. And I really worked with her in the hospital, and eventually she came out, only because I and a woman solicitor in the area agreed to act as trustees. She had some money which is always really fatal if you're young and have a mental breakdown. Everybody seems to feel they have to protect your money in case you spend it. I mean, if she didn't, well, she'd have been out in her ear probably. I don't know, that's about being unkind. But we had to agree to be trustees. And I really worked with her, I should think, for 5 or 6 years. Until eventually she became a journalist and learned to carry a note round on her which said that should she have a fit, there was no need to take her to hospital or anything. They could give her some tablet. She learned to manage her epilepsy, and of course drugs improved.
Yes.
So that in fact she very rarely had a fit except at night. And she earned a living, and she, the last time I saw her, which was many, many years ago, and I ceased to be interested in everything, she had a house of her own and was managing a normal life. Although I'm sure she was always an odd bod. But that was a, you see, I think in a way I always used to say to students, if I had the chance, you know, however rushed you are and whatever thing you do, you should always carry one or two cases that everyone says are impossible. You can't carry more than one or two because they're too demanding. And Elizabeth was one of the impossible cases. And one just had to be available, which meant that apart from one old lady, very old lady that I was available to, they were my two impossible cases that had a kind of first claim in an emergency, and I had them for years. When I went to LSE, I could no longer visit the old lady, and within weeks she was in the mental hospital, and within months she was dead. But I only went to see her every Friday. The last thing I did before I knocked off was go and see her. That wasn't much social work. She was a very mad old lady. Who managed. But Elizabeth was a very worthwhile and very intelligent young woman. So they were two very worthwhile long-term cases that I really, you know, the old lady died in the end, but I visit her, I think, for 3 or 4 years weekly.
Yes.
I'm sure now it would have been a social work assistant's job. She might have done it just as well, I don't know. I don't think so. She was a very upper-class old lady and very choosy about who that visited her. Most people she shushed off very quickly. So that was, that I think I'd say. And then I just would add to it that I do think that the short course program at the National Institute that I had to do within the last 2 years, I found most exciting. I don't know whether it was good, but certainly I found it tremendously interesting. And I know a number of the courses were very good, and the other people thought they were good. So that was a really nice bit of of work at the end, which I think made quite a contribution, particularly to the sort of training officer's side of social work.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. Yes.